We want to share with you guys about discipleship making, and I'm going to intentionally do my best to go about 30, 40 minutes in that range, and then I want to just open it up because I want to find out where you guys are at, where you ladies are at, and I want to, discipleship, as you're going to hear, is about relationships, and so I want to really do my best to model, even as a speaker, what discipleship looks like, even with this group, because this is where we're at, and this is what it looks like, and so I'm just going to give you the principles. And then I want to interact with you because, as you're going to see, that's what discipleship really is. It's living life with people. And so we're going to do that by example this morning as well. All right, here we go. So we're talking to you guys, first of all, about this whole principle, the program of discipleship making. And so I want to, first of all, define what a disciple is. And so anybody real quickly want to give me a definition? You probably got it in your notes there. But what is anything that you would add besides what's written to definition of discipleship? And so anybody want to just share with real quickly? We're recorded, so you guys go ahead and share. How would you define discipleship in your personal experience?
Discipleship,
start with that one. How would you guys define discipleship?
Modeling how to walk before.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody else, real quick. What about being a disciple? Yeah, absolutely. What else?
Also teaching whoever you're discipling how to disciple.
Oh, absolutely. And all of those are elements and pieces of it. I would like to just say that it's really learning how to follow Jesus. And it make it real simple. Discipleship's not complicated. It is really a very doable process. And so as we go through this, we're helping you guys. I don't know if you guys can even see that or not, but most of it's in your notes. But discipleship is a person who is devoted to following Christ, follower of Jesus, and they're committed to, you know, being a follower of Jesus. Discipleship is intentionally equipping of believers with a theme of the Great Commission. Discipleship and evangelism are how we carry out that great command, and you guys just hit that as well. And now we have a third term that I want to identify for you guys is disciple making. It is the process, and that's where we're really at today. How do we bring discipleship into the local church is my task this hour. It is the process of entering into someone's life to help. Yes, absolutely, and that would be cool because I've been trying to get that down. Is entering into someone's life to help them know and follow Jesus. Building a relationship, there you go, thank you, sir. Building a relationship while empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to help them follow Jesus. Let me do that one again because this is the launching point of what we're doing with discipleship. It is a process of entering someone's life to help them know and follow Jesus. Building relationships with others while empowered by the Holy Spirit. I want you to underline that, in order to help them follow Jesus. And I think that is my favorite definition of what we're talking about in this discipleship making process. So I want to clearly define the terms of what discipleship is. I love these definitions. You can add or play with that a little bit, but let me tell you where I got to in defining these definitions in my life and experience. So we're talking about spiritual maturity in your life as well. And so I forgot my clicker, but we can step over. And so what we want to do is help people become spiritually mature. That is what discipleship ultimately is. We want to help our congregation. So my task today is to help us be thinking heart, mentally, how do we lead our people to become spiritually followers of Jesus, to be like Jesus, mature, and understanding Him. Well, it begins with this focus. And in all due respect, I don't know where all y'all come from, and we've got my Cuban friends here today. So, yeah, so, but anyway, they're okay. But anyway, I don't know where y'all come from and your experience, but the truth of the matter is, at least in the American church, Amado, you've been around us enough to know that we have lost our focus on this very simplistic thing that God called us to do. And we can say that we're about discipleship, and we can say that we want spiritually mature believers, but the truth of the matter is we spend the majority of our time in business meetings, making sure Aunt Susie's got her right seat in the church, making sure that we've got, you know, materials in our Sunday school class. We get distracted by everything else going on around us. We've got a run here. We've got a funeral there. We've got all these things. And the last thing that we wind up doing is ever making disciples in the church. And we're literally dying because we've never taught people how to be spiritually mature. They go to church, they plug in and do the little program thing, we elect them to a board, and we've never taught them how to follow Christ. And at home, let's just be real and let's just be genuine and honest, they're struggling with pornography, they're abusing their spouse, they're terrible parents with their kids, and they have all kind of frustrations, and yet on Sunday they're a deacon, they're teaching your kids Sunday school class, and they're going to church because our focus has not been on discipleship. It's about building a church. So just let that sink in for just a second. So that leads us to number two, is methodology. So how do we develop a methodology? And that's, we focus on biblical discipleship. So the terms that we just gave you, the methodology. And I know this is going to sound like this is really simplistic, but, you know, this fits me. And so the truth of the matter is, it's all about relationships. It's all about relationships. And I know you hear that, and we're going to unpack, you know, a little bit of practicality of what that looks like. But ladies and gentlemen, you're never going to be able to be a discipleship-making movement in a church. In your personal life, whatever your reason you're here today, in your local church, however that comes out, until you understand our focus of our church has to be on discipleship. And that's it. Very, can I just be very transparent? I've been pastoring for over 30 years in our movement. I've done from every end of the spectrum, knocked on doors, did all the Southern Baptist Convention Thursday night visitation programs. They failed miserably, intended well. The best people, all two of them, came out with me on Thursday nights. I grew up in the bus generation, not knocking that, but, you know, knock on doors, get kids to ride the bus to church. All of those things, we meant well, intended well. I've done every program that you can name it. You name it. I never ate pie and fell off the roof, but, you know, that was not my cup of tea. I'm just not that guy. But some of you, never mind. Anyway, I didn't mean to offend you, but the truth of the matter is I've tried every program. And so where we're at in our church, and in genuine humility and transparency, is we don't really do much else anymore. Our programming has almost come to a stop. And we just are challenging our people to meet in small groups on Sunday night and take two or three people. I'll walk you through what that looks like practically. And all we talk about on Sunday mornings, almost every sermon, our people are sick of hearing it, but I just can't stop talking about it, is what God is doing through relationships of spending a year together with two or three other guys in the Gospel of John and walking with them and help them overcome their addictions. Help them to realize that, you know what, I'm not the kind of parent. Just to launch into this very quickly, this year I'm in my eighth year of leading a discipleship group. I've got three guys in my, and this is relationships. What I'm telling you is relationship stories, and this is what you need to hear, because if you came today to find a formula or a program that's going to help make discipleship happen in your church, I'm telling you, your focus has to be on discipleship, understanding the definition of it, but your methodology, guys, is relationships. And this is what we've been missing and not teaching. It's relationships. So here's the methodology. So I've got three guys in my discipleship group this year. And two of them are older than me. They've been Sunday school teachers all their life in our church. The other guy came to our church. His wife had an affair with one of our deacons. It was in our discipleship program. It was in a small group leader in his house. And normally, a situation like that happens in your church, and you're probably getting fired, the church is rocked, it splits, does all those kind of things. And I'm here as a testimony to what God can do in His grace. And discipleship is your core. This is what it changes. Instead of having business meetings to find out how this happened and who we're going to fire and who we're going to deal with, our church grieved and we wept. We disciplined the deacon. We went to him. It took 2 years process for him to really come about to accountability. He's moved on to another church, but I restored my relationship with him about 6 months ago. It took that long of a process, the guy that had the affair, but we dealt with him, did the church discipline thing. But by the way, the young guy is in my D group. His wife had the affair. He not only stayed in church, gave his life to Christ, but 3 years later, he has now become the disciple of that other guy that had the affair. God has replaced that in our church. Our church never skipped a beat. That guy wound up getting remarried. I married him and his wife. I didn't marry him. But anyway, that's another seminar. But anyway, I did, I keep forgetting this thing's recorded, and so I hope it's not going out live now. But anyway, did the whole thing. And here's the thing, it's about relationships. Are you catching the heart of this? It's about relationship. This young guy stays in our church, gets remarried. He's leading our children's program. He's going to be a deacon coming up. I'm already telling you, he's getting ready to launch his discipleship group this fall. That doesn't happen if you don't have discipleship. And the other thing about the methodology of relationships, my two older guys that are in the group, they're pouring into this young guy. We're walking through the Gospel of John together, and these guys are confessing weekly, we've gotten it all wrong. We've taught the people the facts of Sunday school, and all it did was give them head knowledge, but it did not change how they lived at home. And I've got guys that are now in their 50s that are confessing, I didn't really do the kind of job as a dad I should have been, but you know what, I'm going to get this right as a grandfather, and I'm going to pour into my kids and my grandchildren. And I've got guys just weeping every week about what God is showing them in their lives. That doesn't happen on Sunday morning. In all frankness, it doesn't happen most of the time in our Sunday school classes or anywhere else. It happens as the methodology of discipleship is about relationships. It's where we can get real and honest, confess our sins, and become like Jesus. Is that not the end goal? It's understanding who He is and what He wants to do. So it's a relational environment that He's creating us in. And it's all about gospel relationships. All right. And so, all right, now I need to go to another. Let me see if I can find this. All right. Sorry. And I may need you back up here to do that thing you just did, Ryan. So anyway, it's about, because I got to keep going in and out. Sorry, dude. And so it's about gospel relationships. This model, it's in your notes. The model doesn't measure success. This is from Bobby Harrington. By how many people? So how do you do that part of it? All right.
Looks just like this screen down the bottom.
Got it. Sweet. Man, you're good. That's so cool. All right. Gospel relationships. This model doesn't. I have a whole staff that helps me because I'm challenged. The model doesn't measure success. I just speak by how many people come to church. Thanks, Ryan. Is how many much money is given. Now, this is cool. Bobby Harrington goes on to say, or even how many converts are made. Boy, this is a whole new metric for us. These things are worth measuring, but they're always secondary. I want you guys as pastors and leaders to get this down. The model we advocate measuring measures how many people are being loved and being led into the way of Jesus, are coming to Christ and following Him. Do you realize what it would do if our churches really focused on this definition? If we begin to evaluate our ministries by this metric, wow, that's different than what we've ever been exposed to. This is a game changer. And so I think that this is really emphasizing what Jesus said in the Great Commission. And so what he challenged us to do is he tells us in the scripture. You guys are familiar with this? I hope you are. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and what? Say it with me, and make disciples of all nations." Thank you, Cuba. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and a little word that we're not real familiar with in Free Will Baptist, but the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, discipleship. You with me? And behold, now look at me. You see, the missing element that we've done is we've done our programs, and we've done our church, and we did visitation, and we've preached, and we've been, preaching expository, and we've been doing all of the technical things right. But what's missing in our people's lives and what's missing in our relationships is the fact that he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. How many of us, don't raise your hands, are discouraged, defeated? We're living in opposition and all the things that are going crazy in our country, in our world. Our denomination's dying. Our churches are dying and declining. And if you look at this scripture and the power of the truth, how in the world can we be in this mess that we're in? Can I suggest to you is maybe we've done it wrong. If we've done it out of our own strength, we've done it out of our own wisdom, and maybe what's missing in our churches and our people's lives is the Holy Spirit and the presence of Jesus. I mean, let's just call it like it is. It's about relationships, relationships vertically and then relationships horizontally. And so the word works. You got to know it comes from the truth of Scripture. This isn't what I just read to you is the platform. This is the ideal. This is the principle. This is God's word. And so there's no radical program. So what do we mean by the fact that the word works in our church, in our situation? You use whatever methodology you want. Discovery Bible is another great tool. There's many tools that you can get your people plugged into. For us, my testimony today is simply we use Rob Gallaty's methodology of hear journals. And what a hear journal is, you can see on your screen, thanks to Ryan, is that we highlight a text. So our church is on a Bible reading program. Not everybody uses it. Everybody does, different things, but we, at least we're encouraging our people to be on the same page, do whatever you're doing, but at least here's a tool that we want everybody doing in our congregation, some kind of hear journaling. But the hear journaling, whatever methodology you're using, is something that we preach and teach all the time at our church. And so what we encourage our folks to do is we're giving them scripture. Right now we're on a 2-year Bible reading program, one chapter a day through the New Testament. So our people as a congregation will have been through the New Testament one chapter at a time over the next 2 years, I think it is. Maybe it's just a year. Anyway, again, my people, they put it together. I just teach this. All right, anyway, and do it. But so here's what we're doing daily in their lives. So today, I was in James chapter 4 with our Bible reading program this morning, and so we highlight it. You write down a key verse or thought. So I'm in James chapter 4. What's the key verse that the Holy Spirit spoke into my life from the Scripture? What is God saying to me? You highlight it, write it down in a journal. And by the way, fellas, we need to get past this whole thing. I don't want to have ladies do? And so, yeah, a diary. Yeah, it's not your diary. Okay, thank you, Caroline. But we want you to, this is a man's journal. Okay, mine's brown. So it's a man's journal, so we want you guys to write this stuff down and highlight a text in the passage. The E is for explain. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. This is what's so cool. You don't have to be a graduate with a master's degree. You understand the Bible was written for every man, every woman. And he's written, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. You write down what God is saying to you in that text. Now, granted, interpretive skills and, being able to, expound on a passage and go through all the technical side of it, believe it or not, I have all those degrees, but it's helpful, but it's not required. So you're just writing down what it means to you. And then this is the letter A that we've missed. And I'm convinced that this is why discipleship works and everything else we've been doing is not, is we never taught our people how to apply the word. What good does it do if you know all the stories of Abraham and the sacrifice, and you know how many people they put on the altar, and you know all the stuff that Isaac went through, and you know how many pieces of wood that was on the fire, and great, and let's do a Bible trivia, and I'm Okay, this is the last year I'm doing the seminar, so I won't get invited back. But the truth of the matter is that we can answer all the Bible trivia questions, and we can be, you know, the smartest person in the room that, you know, well, I know Abraham's third uncle and all those kind of things and all that stuff. And yet, you go home, and you're miserable, you struggle, you're not a good spouse, you're not a good parent, all those things. Who cares how much you know if it doesn't transform how you live? We need people who follow in Jesus, who are praying over their kids, who love their wife because they want to help her become more like Jesus. And so transformation happens as we apply the word. God, how do I lead my church? God, I don't have to be, everybody say amen on this. I don't have to be, Chris and Ryan, I don't have to be like Terry Pierce. Okay, thank you. I knew that was going to resonate. my daughter-in-law's in here, too. She would agree. So anyway, the truth is we don't have to be like one another. We failed at trying to compare myself. I went to school with David Harper in the back. He really did go to college. And the truth of the matter is that we've been all that. I've been with Ariel in Cuba, and he's translated for me while I was preaching. But you know what? I'm not like Ariel. I'm white and clear. He's not. So the truth of the matter is we're different background, we're different country, different all of those things. But guess what? Ariel has been gifted by God to be him. He's cool. I'm not. But I'm me. God's called me to be me. And so we have learned how to apply the word of God to our context. We've been comparing ourselves to one another. We've been trying to measure up to be like somebody else. I'm telling you, it is the greatest release in your life is when you discover that he made you just like he made you. He made you for your purpose. He made you for your life. And let him grow you to become the kind of person. I'll never grow a beard like Ryan. I have no desire to. But that's his deal. How cool. I can't even grow hair. So the truth of the matter is, but the truth of the matter is we've got to learn to apply the word of God to our circumstances. And letter R is how do we respond what? To God. So when he's speaking to us, God, this is the changes that are going to happen in my life. This is where I want you to use me and where I want to take me in your life. So I'm going to try to do this myself this time. And so we'll see if we can get there. For what I'm doing is I do a conference like this, and I just didn't get my sweet. I'm so cool. All right, and I normally don't when I walk through all this, and so I think that's what I got wanted to go to. So you have accountability questions. I'm going to come back to that at the very end. Well, let me just hit it real quick right now. So I got just a couple minutes. What we do is when we're doing a discipleship process is I will personally take. Two or three guys. This is what we train all of our people to do. My wife and I are now coaching discipleship. We have about 21 people doing discipleship groups after 8 years. So hear me, this takes time. This is not an overnight success thing. It takes time because it's relationships and it's messy. And you're going to have people that quit on you. You're going to have people that drop out on you. And don't get discouraged or defeated. You heard of Jesus? Y'all remember that he lost one? Was that his fault? No. People have what denomination are you in? Free will. And so get over yourself. Don't get hung up and go freak out just because somebody dropped out of your thing. I had a deacon that had an affair with the church. But guess what? My God has shown redemption and grace to redeem the entire situation and to raise up this young guy who had his life ripped out from under him. But because of discipleship, our church is just blown away. We've actually had revival since that happening. Because what the devil meant to destroy our church and our leadership, God has redeemed and turned it around. You deal with stuff. You deal with discipline. You do the right thing, and God will show you how to get through it. And we never lost, we never had a fight over it, we never had anybody freak out over it. We moved through it and we showed grace and love, and that's exactly what Jesus does. It's about relationships. So as we're in these discipleship groups, we go through the Gospel of John. Now we're going to branch out and do some other stuff, but what I found in my church, I don't know what you guys probably have much deeper churches, but and we've had some great pastors over the years, and I've been been there 21 years now, but the truth of the matter is my people really just don't understand the basics of who Jesus is. And so we've went through the Gospel of John for several years now. Every discipleship group will walk through the 21 chapters of the Gospel of John. It takes about 9 to 10 months. Every other week is how we meet with our groups. And what we do is a hear journal. We do a hear journal where they come in and they say, John chapter 1, here's the highlight, here's the explanation, here's how I applied it to my life, and we wind up going for over an hour. Each of our, because people just love to share how God is speaking into their life. Would you not dream of your people being able to spend an hour with you every other week just sharing what God is speaking into their life? It's a game changer. Full disclosure, 30 whatever years of being a Free Will Baptist pastor, yay. Such a joy. It really is down deep. But the truth is, I'm enjoying ministry now, in all seriousness, more than I ever have in my life. And our church is doing well, and it's going well. But it's not my preaching on Sunday. What gets me up every day is my D group. I'm going to meet with them tomorrow night. And today's cool, but you know, I can't wait for tomorrow night, because I'm going to walk away from you guys. But those three guys are going to come in and they're going to share what God's doing. With all due respect, that's going to be way better than many of the things we've heard, you know, or done. Is they're just going to share what God's doing in their personal life. And they're with me and they're in my church and their marriages and their families, and they're making a difference, and I'm watching them become mature. I'm telling you, it is the love of my life now, is to pour into these guys. And I can't wait, because in November I'm going to launch my 9th year group with 3 more guys and spend a year pouring Jesus into them. And I'm just telling you, it is the love of my life. It's what gets me up in the morning and gets me going. So we finish out with accountability questions. So this is not, you know, fluff stuff. This is hard-hitting stuff. I don't have that slide, but you have it in your notes. Accountability questions. Have you spent time in the Word and prayer this week? Could you imagine how transformative it would be if we did more of our Bible training like this? This is not soft sell stuff. You're looking man-to-man, me and my wife and the other 21 groups. They're looking at the people in their groups and going, have you spent time in the Word? Man, I got my lay folks asking each other, have you spent time in the Word this week in prayer? How cool is that? I don't even know all the discipleship groups that are happening. And they're holding these. Number two, have you shared the gospel? How transformative it would be if, instead of me having to get up and do a whole lecture sermon series on how to do and share the gospel every week, our folks are meeting together and holding, did you share the gospel this week? Who did you talk to? Who did the Holy Spirit lead you to? That's happening throughout our church on its own, organically. Number three, have you spent quality time with your family this week? How are you doing at home? You can't do discipleship if you're not a good husband and you're not a good wife. Have you spent time, you know, again, full transparency? This year, having the two older guys, all three of us are married. Caroline, you didn't hear any of this. But all three of us have struggled a little bit with our wives getting older and just relationships and all that. And health issues, just a lot of changes that happen at this season of life. The young guy in our group that's 35, he's freaking out listening to our stories. And so it's hilarious. I mean, anyway, but he's learning. And so, and it's like, you know, dude, hang with us. It's all good, man. Hang into it. But, you know, these guys have so challenged me and encouraged me to go home and love my wife, Belen. And I realize I'm not the only guy that's struggling a little bit to figure out her at this stage of life. And it's helped me, Ariel, to go home and love her and to be a better husband. Because I've never been in a group like this year. I've been doing it for 8 years. And the Gospel of John is helping me be a better husband this year and to love my wife as myself. And we're challenging each other. That's what the Word does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's relationships. Y'all getting that theme? Number four, have you viewed anything immoral this week? I've yet to have a discipleship group that at least 10 to 20% of my guys were absolutely addicted in my church. And by the way, you can judge me. You go out here and say, Terry's got liberal church. Whatever you want to say, they're addicted in your church as well. And you're fooling yourself if you don't think your guys are not. About 40% of your guys in your church, just like in mine, are struggling with pornography, and the women now. It's across the board now. And so, folks, you can stick your head in the sand and go, well, I'm Bible-believing, thumping, you know, King James, whatever your thing is, I got news for you. Your people ain't living like you think they are, and they're struggling with it. How about let's get open and honest and real and lead them to know that this is a safe place to confess this sin and give them resources and pray over them and hold them accountable and pour into them, and I'm watching God transform and set my guys free. Because you've got to roll up your sleeves. It's messy, it's messy, it's messy. But I would rather get real relationships. And guess what? I forgive them, I love them, and I pour into them how to get victory. It's called grace. And by the way, He does it with you every day, and His name is Jesus. How about let's show that to our people? They see it. And then if you lied, and my favorite question, if you lied about any of your answers today, and this is a, you know, that's a challenge for Free Will Baptist. So we know, all right. Anyway, so as we go through this process of making disciples, so I got to be real quick because I want to let you guys ask questions. So that's sort of the very quick version of a five-day seminar thing that I normally do at a conference, so I'm just trying to rush through this. But process of making disciples, the role of the leader, who's made a difference in your life. I don't have time to go through this today, but normally I would walk you through. It's the best part of the seminars that I do at churches and stuff, is that I walk you through the story of the prodigal son. And I've lived this out. I have a prodigal son. And by the way, God's grace is so big because He's on our staff now. And God loves to redeem people. And He loves to take what's broken and fix them. And so I walk people through. And I'm telling you, it is an eye-opener, game-changer for your church. And I asked the audience and the people, I said, who are you in the story of the prodigal son? And overwhelmingly, I'm telling you, Free Will Baptist, you know who we are. We're not the prodigal son. And we're not the father, we are the brother who got ticked off because they did everything right, and yet they had the party for the son. I'm telling you, it's a game changer. When I lead the folks through that, we spend about an hour helping them flesh that out. Overwhelmingly, every time, hate to steal the thunder here, but overwhelmingly, most of us are the brother. And it's a game changer to your attitude. So you need to know that we're made for family. This is what I keep trying to say. But here's the principles of what I'm trying to say is in relationship to God, we're made. You realize this is how he designed us. This is not Terry Pierce. This is the way God designed us. He made us for relationship to God. He made us in a relationship with God's family. The church is his design. It's a good thing. That's the way he designed it. He made you to have relationships at home. He made you to, you know, Ryan's got a son back there. Dude, whether he's, you know, a nerd or not, you got to love him, man. So he's your kid. And so how do you do this, man? How cool is that? And so in his relationship to the world, he's called us to go share the gospel. Ultimately, the reason we're not doing the Great Commission is because we're not making disciples. You are called for one specific purpose. I pray this over Caroline and Adam every day. I pray this over my other two sons and their wives every day. Help them to live their life on mission. Two of my sons are in full-time ministry. Caroline's husband is working a job where he's around lost people every day. The other two just work with lost Free Will Baptist staff. But anyway, the truth is sorry, Rusty and Tommy. But anyway, But anyway, the truth of the matter is I pray for them to make a difference. We've got to let, if we'll do discipleship, we're going to get our people back on mission. So, all right. So what is the components to personal discipleship? What does that look like in your life, in mine? And let's see if I can do it one more time here, maybe. And let me see, that's slide 4. All right, good deal. Actually follow my notes here. All right. And yeah, let me just talk about this. The church culture. Forgot to hit the thingy. And what we want to do is your local church, the cultures that is ingrained in your people is the operating system that runs your church. Now, this isn't in your notes per se, but this is really what the seminar is about. Folks, what I'm trying to tell you is we've got to do this personally, and this is going to come out of our leadership. Ultimately, our goal is what has taken me 8 years of doing this is change the culture of my church. When our folks here on Sunday morning, that we're getting ready to start on August the 11th, we're going to meet in 25 homes, and we've been doing this for years now, but we will launch with fall semester of, we'll be in 25 homes this year of 10 to 12 groups that meet on Sunday nights. And here's what we do, is we take the sermon, I preach expository, I'm really radical, I preach right now through the Gospel of Luke. I go verse by verse through the Gospel of Luke. Been there about 17 years now. Anyway, you know, as preachers. And so, but been there about a year and a half, chapter 11, wherever we're at this Sunday. And then on Sunday night, I will write out a series of about 7 to 8 questions. And rather than have a different sermon, you can do whatever you all want to do. I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying this is what's worked for us. Rather than have a thought where I just change the whole system out, is when what God is doing at our church on Sunday mornings through His Word, through His truth, leaving them with that central piece of thought and that theology that hopefully that makes a difference in their life, they take it home and they unpack it with 10 to 12 other adults on Sunday nights, and they answer the questions and they apply it to their life. They pray over it, pray for one another, and then they eat. And because we're Free Will Baptists, so we eat in all of our meetings. And that's what we do on Sunday nights. That's how we do our discipleship, change the culture of your church. It becomes a necessary of alignment. And so this is what we're doing, is we're teaching our people. This is the goal of our church, loving God through worship and giving and teaching. Come to Sunday morning. Loving people in weekly connect group gatherings. That's what happens on Sunday night. Making disciples in yearly D groups. That's what I was explaining to you earlier. I'm leading D group. We've got 21 different D groups. We hope to be at 50 within 2 years. My prayer this year is we're going to get to 30 by December. And then this multiplies, by the way. This begins to explode when we get there. You're going to have setbacks, but and then connect it. And ultimately, the goal is connect our people with His purpose through missions, evangelism, and serving. We just had our youth pastor just came back from Mexico. I'll be flying out next week to go to another part of Mexico. When you get your people excited about discipleship, you're going to go to the world, and you're going to have a heartbeat to be involved in evangelism and missions. And so I'm just trying to get through this as quickly as possible, get out on time. Let me give you this last bit of slides here. And all right. And so how do you move from program to the purpose of making disciples? And so here's the purpose of discipleship. And so we want discipleship to be missional. We intend for it to be accountable, reproducible, and communal. And so that in your notes, but ultimately that's what we're trying to lead this thing through. And here's where I want to land at is we really do believe that God, through the head, men will agree to follow Christ. This is what the goal of discipleship is. We want to change the heart in relationships by we're being changed, not by our program, not by Pastor Terry and his preaching. They're being changed by Christ. What's happening in our D groups, are you listening to me tonight, this morning? What's been happening is God is changing my guys. I was preaching to Tony and to Terry for 20 years, my Sunday school teachers, they didn't get transformed, dang it, by my preaching, by my programs, or by making them deacons and Sunday school teachers. They're literally weeping every week because they're discovering. Tony came in the other day, and one of my deacons, and he's leading a prayer service for me tonight. He threw his Bible down and his journal down, and he said, "I've gotten everything wrong. I'm 59 years old. I've missed the whole point of what Jesus came for." John chapter 12. And he said, "Jesus came and he's my shepherd and he loves me and I don't have to earn his favor and I don't have to do good stuff." And he's frustrated and he's like angry at me. I don't know if he's going to hit me. I don't know what's going down. And he's just like pouring out venom and all this stuff and it's pouring out of him. But where it was is just the poison of legalism in his past. And he said, "Jesus loves me as I am with all my failures and with all my stuff. And he doesn't care what I've done for him. He just loves me as I am." And the other guy started weeping. And we go, "You got it. That's what the Gospel of John, that's who Jesus does. He frees you up and helps you realize who you are. And then that changes that we're committed to the mission of Christ. Real funny story about Tony real quick, and then we'll get to you guys. Tony left our church. He took another job in Memphis, and he was gone for about 5 years. And in that 5-year time is the shift that we made to discipleship in our church. And it was a rough, you know, go of it. We struggled. We made lots of mistakes. You hear me? Don't worry about it. It's called grace. We didn't, because it's not a program. It was messy. And we struggled at it, and we did stuff that was so wrong with it. But I'm telling you, you hang in there with it because it's God's plan. You can't lose when you go with Him. He just picks you up and goes, yeah, that was not me. That was you. And then he brings it back. And when your church has this culture of discipleship, they're just like, they forgive you. I mean, stupid stuff. It's crazy how much they love me and put up with me. And it's just God, because He's changing their hearts because of discipleship. And so, matter of fact, they're sending us on a trip. It's only one-way tickets. But anyway, so after 20 years, it's cool. And so Tony comes in, and he's been gone for 5 years, and he comes back to church. And he says, I don't like the music. It's a little bit too loud for me. And he's a big Southern gospel quartet. And we sing hymns, but we have contemporary, and we're very thankful for it. So, if you're offended, whatever. But Tony comes back, and he didn't like it, old school. And he goes, I don't like the style. He goes, it's just the whole building. We built a new campus, and he said, it's just different, and all this people hugging and shaking hands in the gathering space. You're supposed to come in, and I don't mean it's ugly, but it's just not our thing anymore. It's a suit and tie, and so he's just doing that deal, and that's fine. That's fine if that's your thing, but that was his, so it just didn't fit for him. And so David Mills, the chairman of our deacon board, who's Tony's lifelong best friend, gets cancer. And by the way, when you do discipleship for 20 years, I fought church people. Every pastor in the room knows what I'm talking about. Over change, culture, somebody sitting in my pew. I had a little Sunday school class next to my office for 15 years. They talked about how to get rid of me, because I was bringing in too many new people, me. I don't have those problems anymore, because when you change discipleship culture, God just changes hearts. But you know what I have to fight now is Satan. I would much rather fight the devil and hell than I would the traditions and church stuff. I'm being very transparent, because I know I could win that, because I know Jesus and the blood and the cross. So David Mills, last year, my chairman, my deacon board, gets cancer and he dies. And he's one of my best friends. Only happens when you have a discipleship relationship. The chairman of the deacon board is your best friend. And Tony is a part of this process. Tony's not wanting to come to our church. And David said, you just got to give it a try. You got to keep coming. And now Tony, 10 months later, God lays on my heart, I want you to put Tony in a discipleship. I said, God, he don't even want to be in my church. And you want me to disciple this guy. Tony says, I don't even want to be in this church, and you want me to be in your discipleship group. So he joins my discipleship group. Tony is so plugged into our ministry. We're going to be putting him on in August as a new deacon, because he's bought in. He's now testifying in public services. I bring him up on stage and he shares his testimony. He goes, I got it all wrong. I'm telling you, this is what God is moving in my life. And this guy's almost 60 years old. He said, I'm telling you, God is transforming my marriage, my kids, everything that's happening in my life. He is the best advertisement for discipleship I can possibly have. And he didn't even want to come there. And it wasn't my philosophies that changed him. It was discipleship. He saw Jesus, and he got on board with what Jesus is doing. And I'm just telling you, a lot of the struggles that we're having, discipleship will ultimately help us win those battles. There's a lot more I could share. But I want to just take this last 10 minutes and let you guys ask questions. I hope you got a heart for it. There's a guy named Jim Putman. I've given you resources. I recommend for Free Will Baptist to go to Jim Putman and start out with him, because we're so trained in programs. Putman's a little different style. I've gotten to know him personally and his network, and was in RDN for a couple of years. But it's so about relationships. For a guy like me in legalism and coming out of that and just traditional programs, Putman is so at the other end of just dealing with relationships. It was so helpful and transformative for me. Now I'm to the place that I'm getting a little bit more resources from Gallaty. For me, works good because he has a little bit more structure to his discipleship program. So those are the philosophies about, but I've combined the two. Be you. You know, I'm not Rob Gallaty. I'm not Jim Putman. I do my church differently than what they do. Everybody knows I'm not Rob Gallaty and Jim Putman. But the truth is, I'm Terry Pierce. I know my church in Tupelo. I've taken a little bit from each of these, put them together, what works best for my people and discipleship. Y'all are smart. Figure that out. Let the Holy Spirit lead you to what you guys need to do. And you develop your discipleship program the way the Holy Spirit does. So that's my encouragement to you guys. If I can help you, be a resource for you, pray over you, whatever. God is using me to talk to other pastors and churches. I've been doing this for about 2 years now, speaking and stuff like this, and it's to His glory. And so I love it. And it's just Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit and His truth and His word, and it's His plan.